Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord, in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, let us sing from Psalter 361, stanzas 1, 2, and 3. Through all the years, may Israel say, my bitter foes have oft assailed, have sought my hurt in fierce array, yet over me have not prevailed. 1, 2, and 3 of Psalter 361.
Portion of God's Word that we wish to read this morning you can find recorded in the Acts of the Apostles and are of the 14th chapter, Acts 14. But first we will read the holy law of the Lord. And God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow thyself down. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children, unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me, and keep my commandments. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work. But the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou nor thy son, nor thy cat, thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. Acts chapter 14. And it came to pass in Iconium that they went both together into the synagogue of the Jews, and so spake, that a great multitude both of the Jews and also of the Greeks believed. But the unbelieving Jews stirred up the Gentiles and made their minds evil affected against the brethren. Long time therefore abode they speaking boldly in the Lord, which gave testimony unto the word of his grace, and granted signs and wonders to be done by their hands. But the multitude of the city was divided, and part held with the Jews, and part with the apostles. And when there was an assault made both of the Gentiles and also of the Jews with their rulers, to use them despitefully and to stone them, they were aware of it, and fled from Lystra and Derbe, cities of Lycaonia, and unto the region that lieth round about. And there they preached the gospel. And there sat a certain man at Lystra, impotent in his feet, being a cripple from his mother's womb, who never had walked. The same heard Paul speak, and steadfastly beholding him, and perceiving that he had faith to be healed, said with a loud voice, Stand upright on thy feet. And he leaped and walked. And when the people saw what Paul had done, they lifted up their voices, saying in the speech of Lycaonia, The gods are come down to us in the likeness of men. And they called Barnabas Jupiter, and Paul Mercurius, because he was the chief speaker. Then the priests of Jupiter, which was before their city, brought oxen and garlands unto the gates, and would have done sacrifice with the people, which when the apostles Barnabas and Paul heard of, they rent their clothes and ran in among the people, crying out, and saying, Sirs, why do you these things? We also are men of like passions with you, and preach unto you that ye should turn from these vanities unto the living God, which made heaven and earth and the sea and all things that are therein, who in times past suffered all nations to walk in their own ways. Nevertheless, he left not himself without witness, in that he did good and gave us rain from heaven and fruitful seasons, filling our hearts with food and gladness. And with these sayings scarce restrained they the people, that they had not done sacrifice unto them. And there came thither certain Jews from Antioch and Iconium, who persuaded the people, and having stoned Paul, drew him out of the city, supposing he had been dead. Howbeit as the disciples stood round about him, he rose up and came into the city. And the next day he departed with Barnabas to Derbe. And when they had preached the gospel to that city, and had taught many, they returned again to Lystra, and to Iconium, and to Antioch, confirming the souls of the disciples, and exhorting them to continue in the faith, and that we must through much tribulation enter into the kingdom of God. And when they had ordained them elders in every church, and had prayed with fasting, they commanded them to the Lord, on whom they believed. And after they had passed through Pisidia, they came to Pamphylia. And when they had preached the word in Perga, they went down to Attalia, and then sailed to Antioch, from whence they had been recommended to the grace of God for the work which they fulfilled. And when they were come and had gathered the church together, they rehearsed all that God had done with them, and how he had opened the doors of faith unto the Gentiles. And there they abode long time with the disciples.
We hope to remember in prayer this morning Mr. and Mrs. Peter Van Wyk of the Calgary group, who were blessed with a well-born boy in this past week. Mr. Rick Busicom, who suffers much pain and is waiting for surgery. Mrs. Amber Braun, who is in the Lethbridge Hospital, waiting for surgery after she fell yesterday. Let us try to pray and ask for the blessing and help of the Lord. Lord of heaven and of earth, we are together in thy house again in this morning hour in the way of thy goodness and of thy providence. But thou knowest that we are on every side wrong from ourselves, as we have heard in these moments out of thy holy word. Because one moment a people, they are crying, the gods are come down unto us in the likeness of men, and could scarce be refrained from doing sacrifice. And the next moment they have stoned them. Lord, then it is on the one side or on the other that we make all our errors. And we do not know the truth. And we are so ignorant in our fall. We need to be instructed by thee. Lord, therefore we come together this morning in thy house of prayer, May it not be only in thy allowance, but may it be in thy favor, for a blessing, and with thy countenance to shine upon us in this day, when we may be round about thy holy word and everlasting testimony. Thou knowest that by nature there is no desire, and thy servant did say, drowsiness shall clothe a man with rags. And thou knowest how drowsy that we are. And then thou sayest that we ought to seek, but we have nothing in us that desires and that can rouse us up, that we would seek thee. Lord, then there is nothing but a form and custom by nature, and maybe so it is in us in this morning hour. And when we are come together round about thy word of truth, oh, what hope is there for us? And what expectation is there for us? From our side there is nothing. Lord, wilt thou remember us in thy mercy? Oh, that thou thyself would begin, that thou may plant thy grace and thy spirit in the heart of every one of us. The callings that come unto us are so very many. And they come day by day to both young and old, that we may hear it together also of those in our midst. One is in pain, must receive surgery. Lord, the callings, they come also in such a way, wilt thou remember him and deliver him in this long way in which he goes with his wife and with his children, that thou may uphold them under it. Also her that is in the hospital this day. Lord, thou hast spared her life. Then thou knowest also the calling that comes unto her and us together. Wilt thou supply in all of her needs and others also that have been spared in accidents in the week or in the weeks that have gone by. And we think also of that little child we hear in our community, that little child lying in the hospital. Then thou knowest that it goes in such a wrong way. That is from our side. Could it please thee to remember that child and the parents together? Lord, that thou may look upon each and every one of us. We travel to that great eternity. We have no eyes to see, no ears to hear. And we have no hearts to understand. That it may please thee in this day to use thy word. And to grant unto us what we need for eternity and for the time. It may be it is different in the life of some in our midst, even in this morning hour. Thy servant does say, heaviness in the heart of a man maketh it to stoop, but a good word maketh it glad. Lord, there is so much in this world that is able to make a man's heart so heavy. Oh, that thou may remember all whose hearts are heavy in this world. But wilt thou grant that heaviness of heart, because of our sin, may also be bound upon us, even as that burden upon the back of that pilgrim described by thy servant, with a load of iniquity, with a load of guilt, that a man cannot straighten himself anymore, that he cannot go with joy over this world, because that he has sinned against thee. Oh, could it be that in this morning hour there was some such in our midst? Because we read in thy word that it is necessary for the ground to be plowed up, that it may be able to receive the seed of thy word. Lord, it is so hard on our side. Oh, then it needs to be plowed up for the first time, but also by renewal. Oh, that thou thyself would do it for thy great and thy holy name's sake. Remember thy people. Lord, there are those they call themselves not thy people. But thou knowest who thy own are, and they hear and they know thy voice and they follow thee. Oh, they can do nothing but write against themselves everything. Oh, that thou may remember them where they are. Some standing so afar off, and they are not able to draw near. Oh, thou art able to give an opening in the heavens, that their supplication may be heard by thee. Wilt thou remember all those that are afflicted, that have a heart's affliction, that mourn and that weep, that cannot deliver themselves from all the wretchedness within? Wilt thou look and remember them in mercy in this day? Bless thy word. Look on all that have needs in this life also. Thou knowest where they are in this morning hour. And wilt thou cause also the help that is given by doctors, nurses, and all those that come to their aid also, all that are in the nursing home, and that are old and whose bodies do fail them, and when the grasshopper has become a burden, and that thou thyself may remember them in old age, and that their cry may come unto thee. Lord, remember all thy servants over the length and breadth of this whole world. And thy word that is to go forth again, it is thy holy day. What hope have we, O Lord, from our own sight? Because who is sufficient for these things? We are dependent upon thee. And when thou hast a work to do, then thou wilt give us a word to speak. That is our only hope, it is our only expectation. Wilt thou strengthen then thy servants over the length and breadth of the whole world? And wilt thou be with us also in this morning hour? Lord, give thy word free course. Strengthen us in our mind, in our body. Give us a little clarity, give us a little freedom. Give us a little strength in our soul. Oh, could it be a little entrance of thy word in our own heart? A place in this morning amongst us. It is so undeserved. Our sins rise up against us, and prevailing day by day. But wilt thou show us mercy and take them all away for Jesus' sake. Amen. While your offering is being received, we'll sing from Psalter 437 all the stanzas. No longer, Lord, despise me, nor in thy wrath chastise me. Thy mercy I implore. How long thine anger cherish? Consumed thereby I perish. My soul is troubled sore. We announce at the male members' meeting in Calgary on April the 29th, Mr. Art Visser and Mr. Eric Slingerland were elected as elders. Both have accepted their offices. Lawful objections must be brought to the consistory by Wednesday, May the 13th. The last collection today is for the Calgary loan repayment. All stanzas of Psalter 437. congregation, the words of our text for this morning hour can be found in that portion of God's Word which was read to you, Acts 14, thereof, the last part of the 22nd verse, Acts 14, verse 22, the last part. We must, through much tribulation, enter into the kingdom of God. So far, the words of our text. Entrance through tribulation. First, the means of entrance. And second, the manner of entrance. Entrance through tribulation, first the means, and second the manner of entrance. We must, through much tribulation, enter into the kingdom of God. Congregation, our text that speaks about the kingdom of God. What interest, what desire do we have for the kingdom of God? What does the kingdom of God mean to us in a personal way? By nature, it means nothing. By nature, we have no interest. And why? Because the kingdom of God is spiritual. But what does Paul say? He says we are carnal. That is, we are dead. That is, our spiritual death, dead in trespasses and in sins. Do you feel it? There are but two kingdoms. Many kingdoms in this world, but there are but two spiritual kingdoms. That is the kingdom of God and the kingdom of Satan. That means that we are in the one kingdom or that we are in the other kingdom. That is, even with all our religion in this world, that is not easy for the religious men, that there are but two kingdoms. But we cannot find in God's word a third way. And so that, congregation, is the awful reality. And that is the reality that we shall all one day experience when we have to stand before our judge, before our maker. Our text that speaks about an entrance, that is an entrance into the kingdom of God. What is the assumption? What is taken for granted when the apostle says that there is an entrance into the kingdom of God? Then there is an assumption that we need an entrance. And who needs an entrance but those who are standing outside of that kingdom of God? Do you ever feel it? Has that ever become your burden? It is a divine wonder that there is an entrance into the kingdom of God. Why? Because we were created in that kingdom. And because of our own willful disobedience, we have left that kingdom. That is, in the rebellion of our own natural hearts. And now what is our life? Our whole life. That is a witness that we have no desire for the kingdom. Because Christ, he says, ask, seek, knock, but we will not. Or is it different with you? Our carnal hearts, they are asking, they are seeking, and they are knocking at other doors. They are seeking other entrances in the midst of this world. But let us be honest. How was it this week, young people? How was it this week? How was it this morning? On the very day of the Lord, before you came up to the house of the Lord, was there then an asking? Was there then a seeking? Was there then a knocking? Was there then not a not letting the Lord go, unless that the Lord would bless you, a desire that you may enter in unto that kingdom of God? The Lord in His Word, He says that He will cause those that love Him to inherit substance. Substance. He says that I will fill all their treasures. But are we seeking that substance? We close our eyes to it. We stop our ears. That is the case of every man. There is not one exception. Not in the whole world. Not our young people, not our children. But also not our fathers and mothers. Not even the oldest one that is among us. What does the Lord Jesus say? He says, ye will not come unto me, that ye might have life. And yet, the apostle, he is speaking here about an entrance into the kingdom of God. What does that mean? That means that there will be those. There will be those of that fallen race, of the sons and the daughters of Adam, that are so living without desire and in all their death and in all their misery, that there will be those who indeed will enter into that kingdom of God. We must, he says, through much tribulation, enter into the kingdom of God. That is a spiritual kingdom, but that kingdom that also has an outward, that has an external form. We live in a time, we live in a place where there is not so much tribulation for a man if he desires to enter that outward form of the church. If he desires to become a member of that church, it wasn't always so, and it is not so in every place in the world, even in this day, because there are times and there are places in this world that even to enter into that outward kingdom, into that outward church, that a man, he will have to suffer a tribulation, persecution. What do we read here? And there came thither certain Jews from Antioch and Iconium who persuaded the people, and having stoned Paul, drew him out of the city, supposing he had been dead. And if we now go through those centuries that have followed the Apostle Paul, and we see what it cost that church, that they may even be attached unto that true church in its outward form. And then we see that there has been times wherein there was much tribulation attached to entering even that outward form of that church of God. It is not so difficult for us to see that time coming again, is it? When we see that the world requires of us To condone sin, and every man that will stand and call sin, sin, he is not tolerated by man in this world anymore. Christ, he spoke to the Jewish nation about an awful time that was coming. He said that there is coming a time of great tribulation that was, of course, fulfilled in the first place in the destruction of the Jews. He says there shall be nothing like it. Never was and never shall follow anything like it afterwards. And so it was experienced in the destruction of that city. But we know that in those passages and that the Lord was speaking about a first fulfillment, and then he has in the same time prophesied of a second fulfillment. A fulfillment that he said was coming upon the earth immediately before his second advent, and when he would come once again upon the clouds of heaven, and that there is to be yet a tribulation in the midst of this world. A congregation, how shall we and our children fare? But now that kingdom of God, that is not just an outward and external kingdom, but it is now in the first place a spiritual kingdom. Thus, the entrance unto that kingdom that is also a spiritual entrance. Maybe there is here a man who feels himself to be on the outside of that kingdom. An alien of the commonwealth of Israel. A stranger to the covenants of promise. Is it so? Maybe there is here a woman who says, I am of the kingdom of Satan, having no hope without God in the world. Maybe there is here a little boy or a girl who says, how is it now? Because we hear about the kingdom of God, how is it now that I may be able to enter into that kingdom of God? Because my mother and my father, they have read to me about that city of destruction. And I am in that city of destruction also. But how now can I enter into that kingdom of God? What we will tell you first this morning is that there is an entrance, that you do not despair, because there is an entrance that is now what we hear in the first place in the words of our text. It is speaking about an entrance into that kingdom of God. Who speaks about it? That is the Apostle Paul. But the Apostle Paul, he is speaking in an inspired way. And therefore he is speaking the words, the very words of the Lord himself. Thus, though you are today, you say on the outside of that kingdom, yet it is possible even in this very day. Oh, how necessary that we seek it. It is possible. When we are today on the outside of that kingdom, it is possible that we are entering in unto that kingdom. How do we know that? Well, if that was not so, the Lord had never sent us this word. Is that now not the truth? Is that now not the word of the Lord from the beginning to the end, that the Lord says that there is an entrance? For those who are on the outside, who have left, who have departed the kingdom of God, now from Genesis to Revelation, is that now not that whole word of the Lord? We can read of that angel that has appeared unto the wife of Manoah and to Manoah and his wife. And when Manoah realized that it was an angel of the Lord, he said to his wife, "We shall surely die." And what did his wife say? She says, if it pleased the Lord to slay us, why did the Lord show us all these things? And why did the Lord tell such things unto us?" Some of you have a desire toward that kingdom of God. If you are honest, that desire that is a desire that is living within your heart, you say it is not the right desire. It is not the way it ought to be. Because there is still so much desire in my heart after this world. And that desire after this world that is so much stronger than any desire that may be in my heart after that kingdom of God. You say that is not as I would have it. Because it is not a constant thing. No, it is not strong enough. It is something that is so weak. And then there is so much sin that is within then and that is without. And yet you cannot deny that you are a Samson. When we read that the Spirit of the Lord moved him at times. Moved him at times, then you have to say yes. Oh, then there are times and there are seasons that indeed my heart is drawn, that my heart is desiring something of that kingdom of God. But so often discouraged, you say, how can that be? So very often you feel as if that is so impossible and that in the end you shall remain outside of that kingdom. But one thing we may say to you, and that is that there is an entrance. There is an entrance into that kingdom. You may be sure of it. Because the Bible says it so. And if the Lord were pleased now to slay you, why would he have shown to you such things? Given you his word, brought you under the word, and made your heart by times to burn there under, and that you also may be a partaker of that kingdom, a citizen of that kingdom. Paul, he says we must through much tribulation enter into the kingdom of God. So there is certainly an entrance. You say, where is that entrance? Where is it? What did Christ say? Christ, he says, I am the door. I am the door. I am the door to the kingdom. I am the entrance to the kingdom. Thus, congregation, there you have it. There you have it. Do you want to know where that entrance is? The Lord Jesus, he calls himself that straight gate. Oh, that is now that gate by which a man is able to enter into the kingdom of God. And it is alone through that gate. You say, oh, I know it. I know it because I have heard it my whole life long. It does me still no good. Because I do not know how to enter through that gate. Say, if the Lord Jesus was here on the earth today, oh, then I could go to Him. I would go to Him and I would lay myself down there. And I would beg Him and I would never leave His feet. Except that He would bless me and give me also an entrance into that kingdom. But He is not here. He is not here. And now I do not know how. I do not know how to enter into that kingdom. I don't know how to receive entrance through that gate. You say, how can I enter there? Well, we read it here. We read it actually in the first part of this verse. We read, Paul says, confirming the souls of the disciples and exhorting them to continue in the faith, and that we must through much tribulation enter into the kingdom of God. Thus, he says how. How a man must enter through that gate. That he says it is by faith. Thus by faith a man enters in through that door into that spiritual kingdom. What does Paul say? He says by grace are ye saved through faith. Thus it is not by works. Lest he says any man should boast. God, he says, he will justify a man through faith. That we receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Is that then not that spiritual entrance into that kingdom? Faith being that hand by which a man is receiving spiritual blessings. Blessings that he is not able to receive in any other way here in this world. What does the Lord Jesus say? He that believeth on me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. That is that entrance from that death to that life. It is that kingdom of Satan, that is that kingdom of death, into that kingdom of God, that is that kingdom of life. And how? Oh, that is through that door. And how through that door it is by faith that we come through that door. He that believeth on me, he hath everlasting life. The Lord, he says, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone. Elect, precious, and he that believeth on him shall not be ashamed. So you say, how? How can I enter through that door? Then we say it is by faith. You say, I have no feet to go. I have no hands to take it. I do not even know if I have feet. And if I have faith, then it is only but a crumb of faith, and I do not even know how to exercise faith. Because if I try to believe, then it seems like I am just pushed away because because I really do not even know if it is for me. Is that so, my friend? Oh, then we say, stand still a moment and we will show to you the Word of God. That is the Word of God that we hope to consider in our second thought, that is the manner, not only the means, that it is through that door, and that it is through faith in that door. But now the manner. How that faith that is brought into exercise so that a man actually enters into that kingdom of God. But let us sing first. 235. Lord, my petition heed. Now help me in my need, my Savior be. I am thy servant, Lord. My trust is in thy word. Mercy to me afford. I cry to thee. All stanzas of Psalter 235.
Thank you.
our first thought, the means of entrance into the kingdom of God. He said that was by faith, that is through him that says, I am the door. And now in our second thought, we consider the manner of that entrance. And what does Paul say? He says we must, through much tribulation, enter into the kingdom of God. What is now tribulation? That is pressing. That is pressure. That is oppression. That is affliction. That is trial. That is distress. Tribulation. There were some that are brought into the external church through much tribulation. When we think about Ruth, then we say it was through much tribulation that she was brought into the kingdom of God. Tribulation in the life of her mother-in-law, and tribulation in her own life. But how now does a person enter spiritually into that spiritual kingdom? Then it is only, there is no other way, Paul says, that we must through much tribulation enter into the kingdom of God. Why? Well, we said it is through faith. And faith that takes hold of something. We have said it often. Faith that always has an object. And when faith will enter into the kingdom of God, what must that faith take hold of? Then that faith that must take hold of the promises of the Lord. Paul says, through faith and patience we inherit the promises. Thus, it is that faith is taking hold of the promises of God. But who can take hold of any promise except that he knows and feels in his own heart that that promise has been directed unto him? Who can do that? We have said it to you before, boys and girls. When your mother or father gives a promise to your brother or to your sister, is there in your heart, an expectation from a promise that was given to your brother, that was given to your sister? Is there an expectation in your heart? You say, no, that does nothing for me, that is for them. Is that now not much different when your father or your mother says your name, that you may hear your name, and then attached to your name is a promise from your father or from your mother? Is that not much different? Say yes, because then there arises in my heart an expectation. Then I begin to look forward to something. As I did not look forward to it when it was spoken to my brother, when it was spoken to my sister. Will you remember this all the days of your life? Never forget it. Never forget it. How is it that a man may receive the promise of the Lord, it is necessary for the Spirit of the Lord to witness with my spirit that that promise that is spoken to such a person as I am, that it is therein spoken unto me. That is the only way that we are able to receive that promise. We can try to steal it, but it will not help us. It will not allow us to receive the blessing. We will never receive comfort by it. We will never receive peace by it. We will not be saved by it. It is only self-deceit. Thus, the Spirit of the Lord needs to witness with our spirit that that promise that is spoken to such as I. Now, to whom are the promises in the Word of God made? Are they not to those who must endure much tribulation, affliction, trial, distress? Take now, for example, what the Lord Jesus says in that Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 5. He says, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." To whom is it directed? You say it is directed to the poor in spirit. Is a man poor in spirit by nature? Is a man poor in spirit of himself? Go from the east to the west. Begin at the creation, at the fall of man, and go to the last day of the world, and find a man that is in himself poor in spirit. And now, how much tribulation, how much affliction, how much distress must now come upon a man that he may be made by the Lord himself poor in spirit? How much tribulation that a man may be humbled? How much tribulation that a man may be stripped in himself of all his spiritual riches and everything that he will try to bring unto God? Oh, how much tribulation before a man. He is stripped of everything so that he is standing naked and poor before that judgment seat of God. And before that he is so poor that the only way that he can sustain himself in this life is to beg, which is so against that nature in which he was born. And when the Lord does so, and when the Lord makes such a man in this world poor in spirit, no, not only in a notional way, but feelingly, believingly, that a man, he has to live it out. When he comes in his poverty, and he lives in that poverty day by day, and he is not able to get out of that spiritual poverty, and then the Lord comes. And then the Lord comes with his word, and he said, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." Oh, congregation, then a man, he has to believe. Oh, how faith then receives that promise. Why? Because that man, he is pointed out by the Lord. Because he is given to see, given to feel how that promise is directed not to my brother, not to my sister, boys and girls, but that promise is directed to me because it is such as I am, poor in spirit. Oh, do you know then a man? He is brought from the outside of their kingdom, and he is made by the Lord in that moment to stand on the inside of their kingdom. Maybe it is just for one moment that he can believe it, and that faith may receive it as the word of the Lord, because it is not the word of men. No, that is the word of the Lord himself. And then how precious, or how suitable then becomes that mediator, that Savior, and the Lord Jesus Christ. But how much tribulation, how much oppression, how much affliction is now necessary that a man may so enter into that kingdom of God that he may be made suitable for the promise, and that he may be made one of those unto whom that promise is coming, for whom that promise was given, and to that whom that promise has been directed, and to whom it is applied by the Spirit of the Lord. We must, through much tribulation, enter into the kingdom of God. What does Christ say? He said, "Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted." Oh, what is now necessary to make a man mourn in his life, to make him the object of that promise of the Lord, that promise of the Lord may come to him, that it may not be to his friend, to his brother, and to the other members of the church, but that it may come to his own soul in a personal way. Does a man mourn by nature? Do you mourn? Oh, we all mourn. We mourn because we are so miserable in this world, and we want more in this world, and we have to suffer the consequences of our sin, but that's not what the Lord Jesus was speaking about. That was not that kind of mourning. He speaks about mourning after God. He speaks about mourning for sin, because of guilt, because of separation. And now how much affliction, how much tribulation, how many trials are not necessary in the life of a man that he may come to mourn, that he may come to know something of that separation and to mourn over that separation that is between God and his soul. Does such a man know that he mourns? Oh, ask the widow. Ask the widowers in our midst. Do they know whom they miss? Do they know whom they miss? They know it. They experience it every day. Children who miss their mother, who miss their father, and then they mourn. No, that is not notional. That is their daily life. That is their daily experience. And thus, when that word of the Lord is coming, and when the Lord is bringing that word with power, oh, then that when the Lord is addressing those that mourn, then they know. They don't have to think about it, no. But that word, those mourners, that is coming unto them. And when the Lord is making a man such a mourner, that is in his daily life, when the Lord is giving him to feel it, to live in it, to go over this world in black, when he goes over this world with sorrow, bowed down, when he cannot enjoy this world because of that missing that is living in his heart, and then the Lord is coming, or when he sees no hope and no expectation, and then the Lord, he says, "Blessed, blessed, blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted." Oh, do you think faith is something that we take on our own? Oh, faith that is not a work of men, no. Faith that is a work of the Lord. Faith that is irresistible. Faith that is powerful when the Lord is coming, and when the Lord, he is speaking to us, and when the Lord is making us the man, oh, then a man, he does believe. He has to believe. Do you know what Bunyan says? He says, "Goodwill gave him a pull." And when goodwill gives us a pull, that is the goodwill of God that is seen in him in that moment when faith may take hold of that promise. And then a man, he is not stepping in himself, no. No, then he is pulled into the kingdom of God. Then it can be no different. Because of faith. O faith, that blessed exercise of faith, that gift of God that He is giving unto a man in order that he may not stand without anymore, no, but that he may be brought in, that he may receive an entrance through that gate, an entrance through that door, through him that says, I am the door. But congregation, how much tribulation, how much affliction, how much oppression, and how much distress is now necessary to bring a man so into the kingdom of God. And so we can go on, because God's word that is so full of it, it is from the beginning of that word to the end of that word. What does the Lord say by Isaiah? He says, I will pour water on him that is thirsty, and I will pour floods upon the dry ground. Oh, what is now necessary to make a man sow? To make a man sow. Oh, then it is necessary to stop all the wells of water. It is necessary to close the gates of heaven, that there be not a drop of rain, that there be no dew, and that the soul of a man, he becomes as a barren wilderness, so that there is nothing but dryness, and there is no fruit, and there is nothing that will grow on this field anymore. Oh, and so much distress, so much tribulation is necessary to bring a man to such a place who says, I am a fruitful man by nature, and I have my own strength, and I have my own righteousness, and everything that is able to deliver myself. Oh, did the Lord ever make you as a barren wilderness? Oh, did the Lord ever then speak unto your soul? Oh, may you ever see something of the blessedness of that promise that the Lord says, I will pour water upon him that is thirsty and floods upon the dry ground. Oh, therein sin abounds, congregation, but grace that does much more abound. And therein the Lord, He is Himself bringing a man from the kingdom of Satan into the kingdom of God, that he may know it, that he may feel it, that he may experience it, because it is of faith. What does the Lord say? I will justify the ungodly. The ungodly. How much tribulation, how much affliction, how many trials, and how much distress is not necessary to make that proud son of Adam an ungodly man, that the promise of the Lord may be directed unto him. O congregation, we must through much tribulation enter into the kingdom of God. Paul, he says, there is no other way. Why? Because that promise of the Lord, it is directed to that people. And Paul knew it. He himself, he had to come from a Pharisee. He had to come to the ground. He had to become a publican. Oh, amen. He does not include himself. He will never be able to include himself. Why not? Because he hates that way of trial, of affliction, of tribulation. It is against our nature. We will never go in it. But he says it is the only way. And therefore we must be led in that way. We must be so stripped. Oh, to become the object of the promise of the Lord in his word, that it may be received by us through faith. And when the Lord is leading a man in such a way, oh, then he is included. Then he is brought into that kingdom of God, not by himself, no. He is included by the Lord himself, by the promise of the Lord that is made unto him, unto him. And then a wretched and a miserable sinner in himself, he may enter through that blessed door, through that blessed gate. Oh, how that people will sing. They will sing, not unto us, not unto us, but unto thy name give glory. Amen. O Lord of heaven and of earth, O do instruct us in all thy truth. Make us so, Lord, fit to receive thy promise, which is directed to wretched and miserable sinners in this world, and that have sinned themselves outside of everything in our covenant head Adam, and who continue in that way unless we are stopped by thee. O thou wilt bring into thy kingdom sinners. Thou hast said, go out into the highways and into the hedges and compel them to come in. All the poor, the blind, the lame, the dumb, the afflicted, O Lord, wilt thou make us so in and of ourselves, show it unto us. Convert us, Lord. Forgive thou all our sins. And bring us safely to our homes with desire in thy house in this afternoon. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. 362, 1, 2, and 3. From out the depths I cry, O Lord, to thee. Lord, hear my call. I love thee, Lord, for thou dost heed my plea, forgiving all. If thou shouldst mark our sins, who then could stand? But grace and mercy dwell at thy right hand. All stanzas of Psalter 362.
Thank you.
Receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. Blessing.